Thank you to the choir and the handbells for the beautiful, beautiful gifts of music today. Our scripture reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent is not a traditional to the coming of Christ. It's from John 1, verses 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Throughout this Advent season, we've been looking at our familiar Christmas story through the theme of the gift of yes, looking at how different characters received an invitation from God to be part of what God was doing in the world. God asked Mary to give birth to the Christ child, to carry the hope of the world in her womb. And Mary said yes. God asked Joseph to give Mary and Jesus a home, to accept them as his own family. And Joseph said yes. God invited the shepherds to choose joy over fear, to experience the wonder of encountering God face to face. And the shepherds said yes. And this week, after all of our waiting and our preparation, we celebrate that it is God who says yes to us. God who chooses to be a part of our story in a powerful way. God gives us the gift of God's own presence, made tangible and touchable in our midst. God's love is made visible so that we can catch a glimpse of the one who gives us life, so we can be reminded what the true light looks like. Light that cannot be overpowered by our worst fears and failures. Light that gives us hope, even when it may feel like our hope has been extinguished. So this morning, I want to share a few stories of true light. Light that might be small and vulnerable, like baby Jesus, but light that illuminates a powerful and abiding love that is always with us. Light that God invites us to share. The smallest amount of light can be enough to remind us that we are not alone, enough to give us the hope that the true light is in the world, no matter what else appears to overshadow it. The first story comes from a seminary professor who tells a story of a time when a student had been assigned to lead a lesson for the class on Isaiah 9. Which says, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined." And so as she looked at the passage and thought about how to teach it, she decided to find the darkest place on campus. So she searched around a bit and found a little used racquetball court that was in the basement of one of the buildings. You had to go down two flights of stairs and through some heavy doors to get to it, and there were no windows because it was deep underground. And so when you got inside the room and turned out the lights, It was dark. That kind of darkness where you can't even see your hand right in front of your face. And so when it came time to teach the class, she took the whole class down the stairs and through the doors and had them sit around the edges of the court. And first, she read out loud the line from Isaiah. You are people who live in a land of deep darkness. And then she turned out the lights. And they sat there in the dark, the scary, complete darkness, for about 5 minutes. Until she read the rest of the passage. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And she struck a match and lit a small candle. And just that little candle with a tiny bit of light changed the whole feeling of the room. As that little light flickered, people could see the people next to them. They saw each other's faces looking frightened or grateful for the lights, some that even looked like they had been crying in the darkness. The smallest flicker of light can be enough to remind us that we are not alone. Enough to give us the hope to keep going, even if the way ahead is not clear. The power of the light is it shows us the presence of those who have been with us all along. Those who may also be frightened and confused and longing for connection. A second story comes from Mother Teresa. She tells about a time when she went to visit and work with her sisters in Australia on a reservation among Aborigines. She says, I visited and met an elderly poor man whose situation was as difficult as anything you've seen. He had been completely ignored and his home was filthy and disordered. And so I told him, please let me come and clean your house and wash your clothes and make your bed. But he didn't want her to. He said, I'm okay like this. Don't bother. But Mother Teresa said, you'll be better still if you let me come and just clean a little bit. And so finally he agreed. So she says, I cleaned his house and washed his clothes, and I discovered a beautiful lamp that had been covered with dust and hadn't been lit in ages. And I asked him why he didn't use it. He said, no one comes to see me. Who would I light it for? So she asked, would you light it every night if the sisters came to see you? And he said, of course. So the other sisters began to visit him every evening and would light this lovely lamp every evening. Mother Teresa says, I returned to Calcutta and 2 years passed and I'd completely forgotten all about that man until he sent this message. Tell my friend that the light she lit in my life continues to shine. I thought it was a very small thing. We often neglect small things. The smallest flicker of light can be enough to remind us we are not alone. The power of the true light is that it guides us back to our sense of community and purpose. I once heard Reverend William Barber, when he was speaking, share an observation that his son had told him. A space, a room, or some kind of space that is filled with light cannot be made dark by introducing just a little darkness, like a shadow. The darkness can't overtake a room that is already filled with light. But if a room is dark, completely dark, and you introduce the tiniest bit of light to it, it can have a huge impact. I think another interesting phenomenon is that we notice a light more when there is not any light already present. If you light a candle in a room that's already bright, like in here when we lit the Advent candles today, the candles are nice, but they don't really change the level of light or what we can see in the room. But when you light a candle or a lamp in a room that has no other light in it, That little spark can change the whole feeling, the whole atmosphere of the room. If you go outside in an urban area where there's lots of light pollution, and you look up at the sky at night, you can only see a few dim stars. But if you go out into the country, away from all the other lights, and look up at the dark sky, it provides the perfect canvas for seeing countless stars filling the heavens. It's in those times when we have lost our hope, when our doubts and fears seem ready to overwhelm us, when it seems like there is no light, that the smallest flicker can be incredibly powerful, the smallest bit of hope. One of the reasons that the date for Christmas was set in late December was that the church wanted to associate Christ's birth with the return of the sun's light after the shortest day of the year, on the winter solstice, which was yesterday this year. So today is that day when finally we get to enjoy just a tiny bit more light every day. Each day is starting now to get just a little bit longer and brighter. And so we may not even notice it today or tomorrow quite, but we're reminded that spring is coming, that it might be a long way off, but we're getting closer and closer to it. Jesus comes to us as a small and vulnerable baby, just a tiny thing, but it's enough to make us believe that love has not been extinguished, that God has not forgotten us. The story of God coming to live with us in the tiniest, most helpless of forms can revive our spirits. It's what we sing about and look forward to. It's a sign that God said yes to us, to bringing hope into our broken world, to showing us that we are not alone. But as Barbara Brown Taylor says, God's yes depends on our own. God's birth requires human partners, a Mary, a Joseph, a you, a me, willing to believe the impossible, willing to claim the scandal, to adopt it and give it our own names and accept the whole sticky mess and rocket in our arms. God says yes to us, but then invites us to point to what God is doing, to testify to the light that assures us God's presence is still here, no matter what else tries to separate us from that truth. God's gift of love shows us how to wrap our arms around each other in our pain and our grief, as well as in our joys and our celebrations. Sometimes we have to help lead people away from all the light pollution that clouds their vision. Sometimes we have to sit with each other in the darkest places before the presence of the true light can shine through. There is a lot of artificial light in our world. Even during, or maybe especially during, this holiday season, we're easily distracted by all the glittering promises of joy that come from things that can be store-bought and gift-wrapped, or from trying to orchestrate the picture-perfect gathering. We think those are the things that will bring us joy. We're tempted to buy into empty promises of hope offered by the newest technology, by the fleeting affirmations on social media, or the what-ifs of a life we imagined we would live different from the one we have. And all of this light pollution can keep us from experiencing the illuminating love of the true light. If you go out in the night sky, the bright stars, the Milky Way, they're always there on the horizon. But we can only see them in their full spectacular glory when we step away from all the other man-made lights that obscure them. In these stories we heard this morning, and in the story of God's yes to us at Christmas, what brings hope and comfort, what dispels fear and despair, is knowing that somebody else is there with you. The experience of being restored to community. The experience of connection. Now, it's true that the light does not take away all our problems. As we know, the arrival of Christ at Christmas does not actually end all wars or eradicate poverty or eliminate loneliness and depression or reverse climate change. It doesn't restore people to full health or instantly give us the perfect family that we want. But it does offer us partners to sit with us when our hope is dim. It reassures us that we are part of a wider chorus of voices who are all called to help each other say yes to God's work in the world, to showing up for our neighbors, to being the word of life and peace and challenge that someone else needs to hear. And so let us testify to that true light, the light that appears in the form of an infant child in our midst, who reveals that the love is in the world, even if it's just out of sight. Sometimes the false and flashing lights of advertisements and screens make it so very bright that we don't even notice that light promising us something more. The love which enlightens everyone that has come into the world. If you want to seek the true light with us here at St. Paul's, you're invited to talk to Amanda or I anytime, or to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. It's number 151, the first Noel.